like it, Lou. Otherwise, it's in the way. Just by the by, you know, next Sunday night's going to be pretty good as well. So, you know, if you were like expecting Super Sunday morning and then Super Sunday night TV, come along to church instead. It'll be good. Because, you know, pretty much anything is better than sitting around watching TV. So, you know, even if it's an average Sunday night, it'll be better than MasterChef or whatever's on. You know, you can always watch it on the net anyway, can't you? They all do it now, all the channels. Sweet, all right. Let's get into it, I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for this time that we have together. And God, thank you for your people that you gather us together, God, just to hear from your word. And God, I just pray that you really speak to us tonight. God, that you really just put something on our hearts that comes straight from you. And God, I just thank you that you're here and you want to say something to people, Lord, and you want to speak. And so I just pray that you would do that and that we would be open to it, God. Amen. All right. I've been reading this week and I'm interested all the time that, like, when you read the Bible, you know, you come into these stories about people's lives that, you know, we might read really quickly and, like, maybe in a chapter or a couple of chapters and you may disregard it or you're kind of not paying that much attention. But it's like an entire person's lifetime that you read this story about. And, like, they're in the Bible for a reason and they're there to show us stuff and to teach us. And so I was really interested this week. I was reading in Chronicles. And I read this story about this guy called Asa, and he was the king of Judah. And it's just like, it's a few chapters in Chronicles that just talk about his life and what he did and how he lived. And it's something that I think it's easy for us to skip over. And, you know, it's not like reading, you know, the Gospels or the letters where it's really full of interesting stuff. It's just like story after story, like king after king in Chronicles. But God really spoke to me out of it, and I want to share some stuff out of it tonight. And I guess I really want to encourage you not to skip the bits of the Bible that are boring, you know what I mean, because, you know, we can miss stuff if we don't, and every part of the Bible is there with God trying to speak to us, and everything that God writes in his word is there for us to get something out of and to learn from, and I think if you come to the Bible every day and you just go, God, I'm ready to hear from you, what are you going to say to me, like, hey, God will speak to you, it's so easy, it doesn't have to be like a complicated thing or a difficult thing. You don't have to be a big reader or something like that, but just say, God, what do you want to say in your word? Because it's not just an old book, you know, this is the word of God that he has written for us, and I just encourage you to get into it. And so, is that good? Good. So I want to talk about this guy, Asa, tonight, and I was tempted to read like his whole thing, his whole story, but, you know, that's a lot of reading, and it's pretty dry when it's me on stage doing it. So if you've got your Bible, open it up to 2 Chronicles 14 and just hang out there. And, you know, if I start getting sidetracked or a little bit not interesting, then you can read the story while I'm going. But I encourage you to have it open and to look at it, because pretty much we're going to delve in and we're going to look at his life and just some stuff that I really felt God was showing me out of it and that I want to share with you. Is that good? Yep. You with me? Yep. You awake? I'm glad you came to church tonight. Good. I'm glad that you came. I'm glad that I came. I'm glad that we're all here. It's good. So, Asa is this guy, and he starts off really, really well. He becomes king, and it says in 2 Chronicles 14 that he goes and he, like, tears down all of the idols, and he seeks God, and he tries to serve God with all of his heart. He starts off real strong. You know, he trusts God, and he goes for him. And while his, like, parents and his grandparents didn't seek God, he sought God. And he did it in a really powerful way, and it is awesome. But then as his life goes on and as he gets older, he stops trusting in God, and he gets complacent, and he starts to trust himself. And things start to go wrong. So he starts off really good. Then like this group of people, like this other country, come to attack his people, and, you know, they're outnumbered, like, you know, 5-1 or something ridiculous. But he trusts God and he says, God, we need you, and God saves him. But then later on, they get attacked again, and instead of trusting God, he trusts another country to come and rescue him. And then, like, at the end of his life, he gets this disease, and it says that even though it was really severe, he didn't seek God, he didn't trust God, but he talked to just all of the doctors and the physicians, and that's all he did. And then after that, he died. He died, and that's it, yeah? That's just my summary of his life. was really quick. Imagine if someone just told your life like that. That's a bit crazy. You know, 5 minutes and that's your whole lifetime. But that's a different topic. And I was thinking about his life and thinking about the difference between being confident and being complacent. And not having a confidence in yourself, but a confidence in God. Because like it's not about being like self-confident and like thinking that you can do everything by yourself, but having a confidence in God that comes through faith and that comes through grace, as compared to being like complacent about your life and thinking that you're secure in the things that you can do in your own effort or your own strength. Yeah, and how crucial it is that we would be confident in God and not complacent in our own strength, because complacency is the thing that will destroy us, but a confidence in God will take us further and further and further. Amen. You know, complacency is the enemy of growth. It's the enemy of faith. It's the enemy of success and freedom and God's plan. Yeah, and it is really, really easy to slip into. I know this, and I know that all of us are the same. And you get into those points in your life where you don't even quite realize it, but you've just got complacent. Maybe about work or about your walk with God or about your family and your relationships, and you just get complacent. And the dictionary says that complacency means a feeling of quiet pleasure or security, often while unaware of some potential danger, defect, or the like. Self-satisfaction or smug satisfaction with an existing situation or condition. And I really was just like, oh God, I don't want to be self-satisfied. I want to be Christ-satisfied. I don't want a life where I'm self-confident, but where I'm God-confident. Where I'm confident because of what God has done for me and because of who He is, and not because of things that I have done for myself or who I say I am. Amen. And so, like, let's not get complacent, yeah? Because, like, it's just doesn't work, and you see it in us's life, and you see it in everybody who gets complacent. And you know, in Psalm 71, David says, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth." And there is such a huge difference between resting in complacency and resting in a confidence in God. Amen. You know, let's be people that are just always seeking more of God and always seeking more of Christ and never satisfied with just what's going on, but always looking forward. Yeah. So I just want to talk a bit about, you know, what the difference between confidence and complacency is, and you know, how that applies, how we live in a godly confidence. Good? Good. Now, confidence comes from seeking God with everything, but complacency doesn't seek a thing. Now, Asa starts really well, and he builds his kingdom on this foundation of seeking God and trusting Him. And he's really strong and he's proactive. And I'm going to read a bit from 2 Chronicles 14. So if you've got your Bible, open it up. Look there with me. It says, "Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the high places, smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles." So he got rid of all the fake foreign idol gods. "He commanded Judah," that's his people, "to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to obey his laws and commands. He removed the high places and incense altars in every town in Judah, and the kingdom was at peace under him. He built up the fortified cities of Judah since the land was at peace. No one was at war with him during those years, for the Lord gave him rest." There's such a big difference between this arrest that comes from trusting God and seeking God and arrest that comes from being complacent. And it says, "Let's build these towns and put walls around them with towers, gates, and bars. The land is ours because we have sought the Lord our God. We sought Him and He has given us rest on every side." So they built and prospered. And when we seek God and we honor Him, He gives us strength and confidence and peace. And He wants to build into your life. You know, God is for you. He's not against you. He is not waiting for you to stuff up. He actually wants to bless you. And He says, "If you would just seek me, then I will give you peace. I will give you rest. You know, your burden will be light, not because you're not doing anything, but because I am your confidence and your strength." Amen. In Jeremiah 29, we know this verse really well. Jeremiah 29 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." But then it goes on and it says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. No, God says, I have these plans for you. I have a hope for you and a future for you, and I want amazing things to happen in your life. But if you want to find me, you've got to seek me with all your heart. You don't get it from being complacent. You don't get it from warming a seat in a church service or just sitting back or just, you know, having a Bible on your bedside table. You get it from being wholly, totally devoted to God with all of your heart and seeking Him first with everything you've got, yeah? And that's what God responds to. God doesn't respond to like your success or anything like that. He doesn't care about how well you do because He can give you that and He can take that away in an instant. But God cares about your heart. He cares about the fact that you would seek Him and that you would give your all to Him and you would give your best to Him and you wouldn't like just rest on your own self-confidence or get complacent, but that you would just seek Him with everything, yeah? You know, in 2 Chronicles 15, we read about I'm just going to read it that way. It actually makes sense. All right. So it says that the Spirit of the Lord comes on Azariah, son of Oded, and he goes out to meet Asa, and he says to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach them, without law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him, and He was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the land were in great turmoil, one nation being crushed by another, one city by another, because God was troubling with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." It says, "When Asa heard these words and the prophecy, he took courage. He got rid of the idols from the whole land and he repaired the altar of the Lord." And he says he gets all of the people together, all of them together, and they come before God and they sacrifice to God 700 head of cattle, that's a lot of cattle, and 7,000 sheep and goats. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, with all their heart and soul. It says that all that would not seek the Lord of God of Israel were to be put to death. And they took an oath to the Lord with a loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly and He was found by them. And you know, like, that's so great and so incredible. And that's what God wants, is us just to come before Him. And He says if we would seek Him with all our heart, then we would be found by Him. But what I find really sad about this is that, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, like Asa and Judah, they forget about this wholehearted proclamation that they've made. And Asa forgets that he has made this big statement and this covenant, this linking, this bond with God, and he trusts in himself and he gets complacent and he stops seeking God, you know, and he pays the price for it. Let's not lose our wholehearted devotion to God. Let's not get complacent in seeking Him. You know, in Revelation 3, it says, "I know your deeds," as in verse 15, "that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." You can't be half-hearted before God. You can't let yourself get complacent. You know, God responds to us seeking Him with all of our heart and nothing less than that, amen? So our confidence needs to come from seeking God, yeah? Confidence also comes from relying on God, whereas complacency is relying on yourself. You know, when things are coming against us in the early days, he trusts God and he relies on God and he works hard to seek God for that. But then later on, he starts to trust in himself and the people around him. And in 2 Chronicles 16, I won't read it all out because it's long. He gets basically put under siege by this country. And so, you know, they're worried they're going to get killed. And it says, like, he takes all the silver and the gold out of the treasuries of the Lord's temple and his own palace, and he sends it to Ben-Hadad, king of Aram. So another king that's like, you know, a third party in this whole deal. And he says, "Let there be a treaty between us, you know, and come and help us out and come and rescue us from these people that have us under siege. Yeah, you with me? And it says they did that, and they came down, and then because they came to stop them, then the siege people left. Yeah, so they got away. And then this guy, Hanani, who's a prophet, comes to us, sir, and he says, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty army with great numbers of chariots and horsemen? Yet when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. He says, like, God is searching for people whose hearts are committed to him so that he can strengthen them. But you, instead of relying on God and taking that strength, you relied on somebody else to do it for you. And because of that, you're going to be at war now for the rest of your life. And, you know, it's pride when we rely on ourselves. It's pride when we think that we can do it in our own effort. It's pride when we get somebody else instead of seeking God, yeah? When I say, look, I can't trust God, so I'm going to trust someone else. That doesn't make any sense at all, because God is the only one that you can trust, amen? And, you know, the Bible says that God will reject the proud, but he will lift up the humble. So if we come before God and we say, God, I'm humbly, I want to seek you and I want to trust in you, then he will strengthen us. And that's what God's looking for, amen? So your confidence needs to come from what God has done for you, yeah? But complacency is forgetful. And God saves us, who does this amazing stuff. Like, it says that the first battle, there was like 300,000 soldiers that Asa had. And the enemy had over 1 million. That's bad odds. But God rescues him, and God delivers them, and God wins the battle. Incredibly, yeah? But then, like, Asa just forgets about that. And so then instead of seeking God, he goes and asks for help from another country. And then in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12, he's like getting older, and it says he was afflicted with a disease in his feet. And though his disease was severe, even in his illness, he did not seek help from the Lord, but only from the physicians. Then in the 41st year of his reign, Asa died and rested with his fathers. You know, like, it seems silly to look at it like that, but we do it all the time. And I do it all the time. And, you know, you seem to remember things there where you think God has let you down, but you forget how many times God has done incredible things in your life, yeah? And you know, God has actually never let you down. We just get ourselves a bit messed up. And it's so easy to look at everything that we build ourselves and think that it's so important, yeah? In that, the rest of that verse in Revelation 3 that I read before, the lukewarm thing, it says, you say, I am rich and have acquired wealth and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me, this is from God, gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Now we need to understand that nothing that we can build or nothing that we can do or nothing that we can create has any strength or any security. And when we understand that, we can understand that everything that God does has incredible strength and security. And that he wants that for our lives, yeah? This verse in Revelation isn't about God being against you and striking you down because, you know, you think that you're rich and you don't have a thing. It's about God saying, I want you to realize that you need me. And when you realize that you need me and you stop relying on yourself, then I will just pour stuff out onto your life. I'll give you blessing. I will help you. I'll give you gold refined in the fire from heaven. Like, he says, come on. Like, it's not, God is not against you, yeah? He says, I'm here at the door and I'm knocking. Will you just open the door for me so that I could come in? Like, it's not, yeah, he's not trying to make you lose. And so we don't have to have, like, this self-reliant attitude, but we can trust in God. We can rely on him, amen. And finally, confidence comes from never giving up. Whereas complacency doesn't even try. You know, God's plan for you is not that you finish poorly. but that you would finish well, that we would keep going all the way to the end. In Hebrews 10:35, it says, don't throw away your confidence, for it will be richly rewarded. And God's promise is a reward for us when we don't give up. His promise is for those who don't throw away their confidence, there will be a rich reward. It's really obvious, yeah? But Asa throws it away and gets complacent. And because of that, he dies. And I was thinking about his life and thinking, like, imagine what would have happened in his life if he had not done that. Like, what would Chronicles say about Asa if his whole life was devoted to God? And every time the enemy came, and when he got sick, God healed him, and he trusted God, and he sought God, and he had his confidence in God instead of getting complacent in his own strength. I was like, man, maybe like there would be a whole nother book of the Bible about this guy. Maybe there would be something so significantly different that God wanted to do in his life, but because he wouldn't trust in him, he missed out on that. And I was like, I don't want to be that guy, yeah? I don't want to be a person, we don't want to be a church that, you know, started off strong but then got complacent. Be people who seek God all the time and never give up. You know, it says like it was the 35th year of his reign when he started to get complacent. That's a long time. Like, he's done pretty well, you think, yeah? But, you know, your life, you know, chances are it's going to be quite a bit longer than 35 years. You know, I'm 26 already, so that's really not that far away until I'm 35, and I'm really hoping to go a lot further than that. So, you know, I don't want to be someone that goes for, you know, 30 years and goes, well, that was a good run. That's like, that's the attitude of our world. And the attitude of our generation is like, man, that's a long time. And then, you know, after that, maybe you do something different. But that's not the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a lifelong pursuit and a lifelong race. Like the Bible says, it's like a race. It says, so run as if to win the prize. You don't quit halfway. Don't quit halfway through the game and throw in the towel, yeah? In Galatians 6, it says, God cannot be deceived. He cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Now God says, there is a harvest for you at the proper time if you would not give up. So don't throw it in halfway, amen? Now, I think it's easy to get complacent, and sometimes it's hard to stay confident in God, but it's worth it. And there's a promise from God, and you can trust a promise from God. And every time God promises something, you know that it's true and that it's right and it's real. So let's not be like Asa who got complacent, but let's live a life that's confident in God and that trusts Him and that seeks Him. Amen. And do that. But I think we need to remember that there's always grace. Now, Asa is still remembered as a guy that sought God and that turned Judah away from idols and taught them to seek God. And that's a good thing. And, you know, tonight is a chance for you to have a fresh confidence in God and to stop living in complacency. Amen. It says in Hebrews 4 that since we have a high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we possess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Then let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And this is the gospel, this is the good news. That Jesus is not someone that doesn't understand, but that Jesus lived a perfect life and died for us, so that we could approach the throne of grace with confidence. Not confidence in myself and in my own ability, but confidence in Jesus and what He did for me, so that I can come before God with a fresh start, with a clean slate, totally free, totally living in grace, and say, God, I can trust You. I can have confidence in You, not in myself, because of what Jesus did. Amen. So it's our choice to seek God or to ignore Him and be complacent. I'm going to pray. God, Thank you so much for Jesus and for what he did for us. Thank you that we don't have to rely on ourselves or our own effort, but we can have faith and trust in you. God, that it's your love and your mercy that we can trust in. And that's such an incredible thing. And God, I pray that you would help us not to be complacent, not to step back, not to give up, God, but always be seeking you. I want to pray with you tonight if you don't know God and like you've never really trusted in God before, or maybe you have, but you just know that you've got really complacent about your faith, and then I just want us to pray together. So maybe you don't know God and you don't know what it means that Jesus died for you, but you want to know that and you want to accept that and you want him in your life and in your heart, or maybe you just feel like you want a fresh confidence in God, then I just want to pray for you. So maybe let's all just stand together and let's just have an attitude of prayer. Just open your heart if that's you. I'm not going to get you to come out or put your hand up or anything. God, thank you so much for every person that's here tonight. God, thank you for people who want to know you, people who want to seek you. God, people who don't want to be complacent anymore but want a fresh confidence in you. God, I just pray that you would really just build something in our hearts, strong and fresh and real. God, light a fire in us, God, for your name. God, build us up and put a peace in our life and our heart that comes from a confidence in you, God. We thank you for Jesus and what he did, God. We're sorry for being complacent. We're sorry for our sin and our lives that don't honor you, God. And we want to turn that around tonight. And we want to have a fresh start in you, God. So I just pray that right now you just put that in our hearts really strong. And you just have your way in our lives, God. We're just going to pray this prayer together. It'll come up on the screen. And if you maybe you want to pray that for the first time, or maybe, you know, you just want that fresh confidence, then you want to do that again, then like we're all going to pray it out loud together, and you just pray it from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen.